At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
What's the wildest thing you have witnessed at a bachelor/bachelorette party? Story 1. Went to a party full of Ukrainians as a non-Ukrainian speaker, the only one. The vodka drinking begins, and quickly, I see I'm out of my drinking league. The guys get excited because the dancers are here. Mind you, I can't understand a thing they're saying. The dancers show up, and I kid you not, they looked really young, worryingly young. My stomach sinks. I go to the groom, the only English speaker, to tell him I'm not comfortable with this. He tells me there's nothing to worry about as they are being shown into the room. The vodka shots intensify, and the guys are getting excited. The loudness turns into yelling at one another, which turns into shoving. The groom tells me they're fighting over who is getting first dibs on who get to spend time with the dancers. I tell the groom I'm leaving. I won't be part of this. Just as I say this, loud knocking begins on the door. No one answers the Ukrainian voices coming from the other side. My confusion didn't last long as two men in their 50s kicked in the door and started fighting with the guys at the party. I'm able to weasel my way out and run to the parking lot, where the groom is also running to. I asked what that was about. Those girls were his cousins, and the other guys at the party, also cousins. The men were the girls' fathers. We obviously haven't talked since the wedding. Before we continue, do us a quick favor. Smash that like button and subscribe to support our channel. Story 2. UK co-workers of mine decided to throw a stag do for their friend in Prague, something like 2 weekends before the wedding. Everyone gets drunk, they keep talking about dancers and girls, but no one has any idea how to go about finding one. The best man decides he'll go find out, and the groom follows him. No one sees them for the rest of the night, they don't answer phones, and we end up going back to the hotel, debating if we should call the cops and report them missing. Same story the following morning. Someone checks with the front desk, and they apparently checked out in the middle of the night as they were sharing a room. We all get back that Sunday, and the best man shows up for work on Monday, saying the groom-to-be has some thinking to do. We all got, "Please do not come to the wedding," email from the wedding organizer that week. Turns out the groom had a major, "I don't think I want to get married" moment while they were out looking for dancers, came out to his best man as gay, and then left for Israel the following morning to see a guy he had a crush on since high school. Apparently, the bride to this day believes one of the guys at the party turned him gay, and refuses to speak to any of his friends. Story 3. I rented one of those huge inflatable slides for my friend's bachelor party. We had the slide delivered late in the afternoon, so we would have it all night. At some point in the night, we decided to up the risk factor with the slide. We would get about 6 to 7 guys at the top of the slide, and then unplug the blower that kept the slide inflated. We would then see who could actually make it down to the bottom of the slide before the slide basically swallowed and suffocated you. At some point, the front stakes that hold the slide to the ground came out of the ground. One of the guys made it down to the bottom of the slide, which would normally have been the goal. Unfortunately, there were still about 4 guys at the top, and with the stakes not holding the front down, the slide flipped over. The guy at the bottom was catapulted across my yard and hit his head on my concrete walkway. He spent the rest of the night in the ER as he had to get stitches in his forehead. He was a groomsman, and there was no way to hide his battle wound, so all of the wedding photos show his stitched-up forehead. Good times. Story 4. Our group arrived in Vegas for some pre-scheduled debauchery and drinking at a club. The groom's best man decides to get a dance in the champagne room. He comes back, and we head out to play some cards and drink some more before retiring to the hotel room. The next morning, while recovering from our collective hangovers, the best man's right eye was as red and puffy as a souffle. He told us the dancer used his face as a washboard during his time with her. The doctor told him he had gotten crabs in his eyebrow somehow, and they made their way down to his eye. Needless to say, he didn't play the part of best man. We still haven't allowed him to live that down. Story 5. We went to a chili house for the party. The best man and the groom were trying chili oil on tortilla chips. Went up through the Scoville scale. 10,000, 100,000, 500,000, then 1.2 million, the most they could legally let us try. Both of them were in tears. Anyway, after that we left, and the best man showed me that he had bought some 1.6 million chili oil to put in the groom's pint later. The next bar we went to, we were all sitting chatting when the best man put his hand in his pocket, and when it came out, it was covered in a red liquid. His face slowly changes as he realizes that the bottle has cracked in his pocket and chili oil is now slowly spreading its way across his groin. He gets up and leg it to the bathroom. He comes out about 20 minutes later, visibly limping, and says he's going to have to go back to the hotel to change. That night he was dancing like a man who had had his sacks tasered, but the real fun was the next night when another friend of mine came out of the bar toilet laughing and waved me over. I went in and the best man turned from the urinal to show his dong, which is now half bleached ivory white. This was over a year ago, and it's still in that state, so we're quite positive that it's permanent. Story 6. So several years ago, while at his bachelor party, my buddy the groom got it on with a dancer. Shortly after getting married, he found out his wife, at her bachelorette party, had shared a bed with a male dancer. Here's where it gets crazy. Fast forward a few years, and they are still together, on vacation somewhere, and they run into that same guy who banged my buddy's wife at her bachelorette party. He had gotten married. And his wife was the dancer who banged with my buddy at his bachelor party. Apparently they were both attending the same college at the time when my buddy was getting married, and they were both doing side jobs to make extra cash. Craziest thing I've ever heard about in my life. Story 7. So my best friend got married a few years back. We threw this crazy bachelor party and rented a cabin in the Pocono Mountains. A chill weekend of drinking, smoking, and debauchery. We hear about this crazy club that will shuttle you to and from your rental. Awesome. We get a ride in this white Dodge van that two bouncers come to pick us up in. We get there, and it looks like your typical club. Bars and tables, girls dancing on stage and walking around. It's packed and obvious that multiple bachelor parties are going on. So we're having a good time watching guys be embarrassed on stage and whatnot. Some of the guys in our group are chatting and laughing and whispering, "Oh my God, really?" type stuff. No sooner am I asking what's going on when the hottest female I have ever laid eyes on comes up and starts dancing up on me. I mean, really going at it. I'm enjoying myself when she leans back, grabs my little guy, and whispers, $100 and show you a good time." It starts to hit me as she keeps talking. Oh wow, we're in some kind of S workers joint. I look around, and every woman here looks absolutely stunning. I'm trying to hold back a seizure mixed with a raging mega stiffy. Can't do it, I think to myself. I'm married. Damn, almost all of us are married. We all sort of agree not to do anything we would regret. So just dances. So the night goes on pretty uneventfully, and we realize one of our gang is missing. The groom's brother-in-law. After like 2 hours, he shows up, hair disheveled, a daze in his eyes, and a big grin on his face. We're like, "Dude, where the heck have you been?" To which he replies, "I don't know, but I'm out like $800. Definitely did what we thought he was doing. The funniest and most awkward part of the night came during our ride back to the cabin. We were a pretty drunk group, and at some point, someone blurted out something about a dancer they'd met earlier. The driver, who also happened to be a bouncer, suddenly perked up. "Wait, what did he say?" he asked, clearly curious. Trying to smooth things over, I jumped in with, "Ah, don't mind him, he's hammered. Just talking nonsense." The driver didn't skip a beat. He just smirked and said, "All right, man, but tell your buddy he might want to clean his dong with bleach and get tested." The whole car just burst out laughing, and my friend turned the color of a tomato. Definitely one for the vacation highlight reel. Story 8. So at my co-worker's bachelorette, everyone was doing some powder. The next morning, they couldn't wake up the groom or his dad. Turns out they both had heart conditions, and that did not mix well with the powder, and my co-worker ended up burying her fiancé and his dad the day they were supposed to get married. She was pregnant at the time. That must have been so horrifying for her. Story 9. I've only ever been to one real bachelor party. The day started with a round of golf, dinner at some sports bar, and finally the club where the special guest performer was some woman that at the time had, or previously had, some record for the largest racks. They looked like two kegs of beer protruding from her chest. So our whole group is sitting at the stage with our money out, and the groom sitting next to me was the first one she went to. She ended up burying his face between the kegs, and we were all cheering, until his face emerged with a look like he was about to vomit. I grabbed my money and noped the heck away from the stage. He got up and rushed to the bathroom to wash his face off. We asked him what happened. He said he could only imagine it was akin to sticking your face between a fat guy's rear end after they'd run a marathon. He said he literally almost threw up on her. It was that gross. Story 10. A buddy was getting married to a girl he had proposed to on two different occasions. After the first time, he took the ring back because he wasn't sure she was right for him. He was the problem, not her. The bachelor party commences, and he gets a blowy from a dancer. He tried to convince me to hook up with the other dancer. I had a girlfriend at the time, so naturally I declined. He gets drunk, and the party ends. He convinces a bunch of friends, no family in the party, as they had already given up on him making the right decisions, to all attend their wedding in the Caribbean. Enough people come that his and his fiancée's trip is covered by the hotel/travel agent. For months later, they have split up. He's with another girl very much younger than him, and she's pregnant. Present day, he's a father. He isn't with the baby mama. He's dating random Tinder girls that are almost half his age, 35 for him, 20 for them. And his ex-wife is happily married and has moved away. Story 11. This wasn't a bachelor/bachelorette party, but a rehearsal dinner. My sister was getting married, and I was in the wedding. The drive to the dinner and the wedding was a good 90-minute drive. My ex-fiancé decides, hey, I'm going to put some rum into this flask for the ride. I get that, you know. Calm your nerves, take off that anxiety of being around people you don't know, other than my direct family, which is not big. Well, we got lost. Of course, in 2014, we were in an area of eastern Indiana where cell phone reception wasn't that good. We couldn't get a hold of anyone, and basically had to find the place the old-fashioned way by asking several gas station associates for directions. It took us about 3 hours to find this place, and by that time, my ex was fully drunk. So now we've arrived, and not only did I miss the rehearsal of my sister's wedding, not only have I pissed off my family, but I have this significant other who is just really drunk. Screw me, man. We got to a table because she was stumbling, wobbling, you know the walk of one who's drunk. She sits down, and my parents approach us. My parents are Mormon, mind you, because of course they are. They immediately took note that the ex was drunk, which made them even more pissed off. I am standing, talking to my Mormon mother and father, trying to explain everything, and I guess my ex got really in the mood. She starts grabbing for my dong, like blatantly reaching for it. My parents' jaws dropped as they watched this belligerent drunk jerk, who would soon be their next daughter-in-law, trying to fondle their son. They quickly leave us. So, we left right after that. Of course, as I am guiding her towards the car, she starts screaming. She started cussing, and for 90 whole minutes, I drove with her crying, calling me every name in the book, and telling me she wanted to walk home. Why I didn't call it off that night might be one of the biggest regrets of my life, and I don't have many regrets. Story 12. It was my bachelor party. Nothing too bad on my part. We went to a club with some buddies, one of which had come from the hospital because his future wife, and now ex-wife, had given birth to his first daughter. He had a curfew of 11 o'clock. While at the club, the dancers got me on stage because me being the bachelor. Well, our other friends got another dancer to get my buddy on stage to celebrate his new kid. They sat us down on chairs and gave us dances. Then they had us take our belts off and made us get on all fours. They beat us until we had crawled back down and to the stage. Eventually, we dropped him off at the hospital at 2 a.m., and that's when he decided to tell us that she said no clubs. I woke up the next morning and saw that the backs of my thighs and bottom were covered in bruises and welts. I immediately texted him to let him know not to let his lady know. He later told me he didn't shower for a week because he was afraid she would see. Apparently, he never told her where we had been, just that we had gone drinking and lost track of time. Meanwhile, my ex-wife laughed when she saw the bruises and was happy that the handful of singles she had given me went to good use. Story 13. Destination wedding in a major U.S. city, so we all had hotel rooms in the same hotel. We decided to hire a couple of dancers to come to one of our rooms. We pushed the beds out of the way and the dancers give dances on chairs in the middle of the room. A little awkward, but not too unusual, until the girls decide to tell everyone it is time for private dances and push us all out of the room. A few guys get dances, while we all stand around in another room. Then the groom gets it in his head that he is going to get intimate with the dancer. So when he goes to get his dance, he starts pressuring the girls to do a little more. Anyway, the dancers tell him to back off, since S-working is illegal in this city. He then proceeds to ask the dancers to leave and start looking online where he can hire a S-worker. At this point, most of us, myself included, nope our way out and go to bed. We wake up the next morning, and the groom's phone, as well as one other guy's phone, is missing. I bug him until he tells me what happened. Apparently it took a while to find a S-worker. He orders one to his room, and she shows up looking nothing like the advertisement. He slams the door on her and proceeds to find another one. He eventually does, but it is like 3 a.m. before this one shows up. When she does show up, apparently they kiss a bit, then he sits down on the bed while she gets ready. At this point, he says he fell asleep and woke up in the morning with both phones as well as hundreds in cash gone. Story 14. I worked at a bar back in the day. As usual, a bachelorette party arrived, and the bride-to-be hit on a bouncer. They flirt, go into the kitchen, which was empty, and get intimate. She was caught by her friends in the act. Embarrassed, she leaves the bar. The next day, the cops show up. Out of embarrassment and fear, she claims she was essayed. The bouncer was black, and she was white. He was a gentle giant, but she was drunk, so it went to court. The guy was able to avoid prosecution somehow, but his career was over, and he was really hurt over it. Yeah, he shouldn't have done that, but she was definitely the aggressor in it. It was screwed up. I felt bad for the guy. He didn't have a mean bone in his body. Story 15. Secondhand story from a friend who was there, Vegas bachelor party. One of the groomsmen made a big bottle of jungle juice and decided to dose everyone with powder without telling anyone. Kicks in for different people at different times, but after about 2 hours, everyone was tripping like crazy and no one knew what the heck was going on. One guy splits off from the group and no one sees him for the rest of the night. Another one goes back to the hotel to sleep it off. Down to 4 guys left, and they've somehow gotten to Henderson. The groomsman comes clean and tries to get them all to go on a roller coaster. They freak out on him and ditch him with no phone or wallet. My buddy knows the nightlife manager at one of the casinos and gets him to send a car to get them, and they end up in VIP at Perfecto. Now, none of these guys are interacting that well with reality, and the best man tries to get up on stage to dance with one of the dancers and ends up in a fist fight with a bouncer. The 3 that are left get ejected and find their way to the Luxor pool, where they all pass out. Cut to noon, where the first guy that disappeared tracks everyone else down one at a time and finally collects the 3 guys at the Luxor, who were so badly sunburned that one needed to be hospitalized. I don't think they ever talked to the acid guy again, who was disinvited from the wedding. Still free drugs, right? Story 16. I was at a bar, it was November, so I was wearing a mustache, which was the style at the time, so in walks a bachelorette party, and they were on a scavenger hunt, making the bride-to-be do things that were on her list. The bride was pretty gross and really drunk. One of their group came up to me and introduced herself as the maid of honor and explained the situation, and said the bride needed to kiss a man with a mustache before they could go. I said, "No thanks, my girlfriend wouldn't like that." She acted appalled and said that there were no other mustachioed men in the bar, which was strange because mustaches in November were the style at the time. I began looking around for another mustache, and by this point, all of the women in the group had joined us. I felt a tap on my shoulder and turned to see when I was grabbed hard by a hand on each side of my head and pulled sideways. My neck popped and exploded in pain. Before I knew what happened, the bride was jamming her cigarette smoke tongue in my mouth. My instinct was to bite it as hard as I could, but I stopped myself because I didn't want her blood in my mouth. I pushed her away with both hands as hard as I could, and she hung onto my head and hurt my neck even more. Their group exploded with laughter. Accomplishing their task, they turned and filed out of the bar. My neck hurt so bad that I told my friends that I had to go. I went home, popped 4 Advil, and tried to sleep it off. I had the worst stiff neck of my life for about 10 days. And now every year, when it gets cold, around November, I get a stiff neck as a reminder that women's violence is just a joke. Story 17. Guy I know was on his bachelor party and one night got wasted, like cannot remember a thing from 3 minutes ago wasted, and wound up at the club. He requested a private dance, then another in the curtained-off room, then another, and another. By the end of the night, he racked up a $50,000 bill on private dancers, but was so drunk he couldn't remember a thing. He charged all this money on his company's credit card. The next morning, he was mortified, reported the card stolen, and challenged the charges. Turns out it's the club's policy to have you on camera and fingerprinted for each $10,000 charge that you authorize, so the club sent the video/fingerprinted forms to his company in response. The video showed him happily popping back up after every $10,000 spent and signing/fingerprinting the forms before going back with the girls. The company fired him and held him liable for the $50,000 in charges. He and his fiancée still got married, but he went from the future executive kind of guy to unemployed with $50,000 in debt overnight, so she must have really loved him. Story 18. We had a bachelor party for my paraplegic friend. The dancer got pissed, he couldn't get it up for her. The wheelchair should have been a dead giveaway. She then decides to get raunchier and raunchier. I stepped outside once the toys started coming out, and she started asking for volunteers. I was at a private house, so I just excused myself for a smoke. About 2 minutes later, another dude stepped out, looking a bit shell-shocked. We talked about our weddings and kids, and called it a night, leaving by the side gate. Can't really blame the dancer, but guys trying to act 22 when you're pushing 40 is just downright embarrassing. Story 19. The woman I worked with was getting married. Her boyfriend had just moved to town and didn't know anyone yet, so all the young guys at work got invited to his bachelor party. She was a bit strict and insisted on zero, as in no dancers. Well, of course, someone ordered a dancer. Also, I should point out, this was Las Vegas around 1990 or 1991. She showed up, inserted her CD into the boombox, and wham, off came the clothes. No sensual buildups, nothing. John, the groom, was actually trying to be cool about it, so he was in the kitchen hanging with the other guys who had no interest in the dancer, drinking some beer. Flash forward a bit, someone was videotaping the dancer, and decided to play a joke on OL John. He whispers in the dancer's ear, and then follows her as she runs into the kitchen and jumps, fully unclothed, into John's arms. He's a good dude and a little buzzed, so he catches her. She's got his legs wrapped loosely around his waist, and he's holding her up as she rubs herself in his face, and has her arms over her head. Then John spots the video camera, and he just drops her. Just kind of lets go with his arms in shock, and since she's barely holding on with her legs and her arms are above her head, she hits the kitchen floor with a meaty thwack. And John starts chasing the guy with the video camera, tackles him, takes the tape out of the camera, and pockets it. He then makes everyone there swear that they'll never tell his bride what just happened. I've never seen someone so scared about the consequences for this type of thing. He was white, wide-eyed, shaking, pleading with us not to tell. Later on, the dancer turned into a S worker and began taking on all comers with $40 to spare in one of the bedrooms. Story 20. The groom had hired a photographer to document the day, not knowing what his best man had planned. He thought they were going golfing and bar hopping. I only saw the photos. A co-worker's bachelor party took place in an empty warehouse and had an elevated runway set up for models to walk down in the middle of the party. One of the guys grabbed one of the women claiming he mistook a dancer for S worker. He pulled on her clothes and essayed her. No matter who he thought she was, he shouldn't have touched her without her permission. One of the other women called the police. The guy was arrested. Charges filed. The co-worker's dad was there, and the mayor of the town, so there was press coverage when the story got out. A lot of guys were pissed at their friend, not because he could just grab a woman, but because his actions led to media attention. The photographer gave the photos to the police, who released some to the local press. The whole thing was a disaster all the way around. Careers ruined on top of what the poor woman went through. My coworker was pissed because he wanted to play golf and go bar hopping. Instead, he had the press covering his wedding yelling questions at the guests. He was fired after our boss started getting calls from clients. His dad and other council members had to resign. Other guys lost their jobs. The only good thing for him was that this happened in the days before social media and relentless internet coverage. Story 21. I was solo traveling in Ireland at the time, and had met a couple of fellow travelers at my hotel in Killarney. We ended up going out together and landed in a pretty lively pub. It was packed, the energy was high, and the Guinness was flowing. While we were there, we stumbled upon a middle-aged couple throwing a co-bachelor-slash-bachelorette party. Let's just say things got rowdy. By the end of the night, both the bride and groom were deep into celebration mode. The groom, clearly enjoying his last hurrah, was enthusiastically flirting with every woman nearby. And let's just say he had a unique approach to saying hello. The groom was hitting on all the ladies and face diving on the melons of any of the ladies who let him. Meanwhile, the bride was very outgoing. She was openly making BJ propositions to random guys in the bar, including one of the guys I was with. At one point, she asked him if he had protection because she was feeling spontaneous. Her friends were hyping her up like it was a reality show finale. It was honestly one of the most bizarre party scenes I've ever witnessed. Later on, I found out that the bar we stumbled into was actually a well-known local swingers club. Suddenly, everything made sense. Story 22. Not my bachelor party, but one I went to. A friend of mine from grad school was getting married several states away, where he lived. The party, thankfully, was about a month before the wedding. He and I were supposed to hang out on the Saturday before the party, and then we all were supposed to have dinner at a casino. After dinner, we were going to play cards a bit, then go to a club. Pretty standard stuff. I flew into town Friday night, rented a car, and went to my hotel room. I get up Saturday morning and call my buddy so we can hang out. Some of his friends from undergrad came in early and were going to hang out with them. No biggie. I drive around a bit, grab some lunch, and make for the casino at dinner time. My buddy, on the other hand, spent his Saturday drinking. All day. He and his undergrad friends are about an hour late to dinner. He finally sits down at the place of honor, orders a drink and a steak. The drink comes and he downs it. The steak comes and he starts diving into it. About halfway through the steak, he gets a pained expression on his face and suddenly pukes.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
All over the table. Apologies are made, some of the mess is cleaned, and other friends hustle him out. I play a few hands of blackjack with another grad school friend, drive back to the hotel, and fly out the next day. I spent about $700, blew a weekend, and saw my buddy for less than an hour. Story 23. This was not during the party, but the wedding reception. The fraternity brother couldn't afford drinks for his wedding, so he only had beer. My five other brothers, who were invited, spent about $600 on liquor at Costco. Every last drop was gone, and everyone got drunk. We only have a video to remember it, but I only remember waking up with a bridesmaid in a garage, totally unclothed. Someone was in a boat in the same condition. The bride and groom, who were super outdoorsy, pitched a tent and tried to camp. One of the groomsmen wandered out of the forest at noon, undressed and confused and still drunk. I have some regrets. That night is most of them. I should mention there was one bottle we didn't drink. The bride's very drunk grandma took our bottle of tequila and said we couldn't drink it because tequila is when the clothes come off. As you can tell, clothes still came off. Story 24. My coworker used to work at a club. He said one night, a bachelor party came in to celebrate. Well, they look over and there is a huge bag of powder out on the table, and this guy is going to town. Well, the bouncer was told to take care of the situation. He was apparently 6'7", 350 pounds, a huge guy overall. He told the guy he's got to cut that out. The dude who's the bachelor turned around and hit the bouncer with a right hook on the jaw. Knocked the guy out cold. He said he fell over like a tree. My coworker said he leaped over the table and with all his might, Superman punched this dude right in the jaw. Took it like a champ. Didn't even faze him, he said. Things get messy, and it's like a scene from a movie. He said when the cops finally showed, no table was left unturned. At one point, he said five guys were on The Bachelor, and he stood up like it was nothing. It took seven officers to arrest him. They found out it was PCP. They were all charged with drug possession and mob action. The guy's wedding was the next day, so he missed it. Idiot. Anyways, the whole conversation started over crackhead strength, to which he replied, let me tell you about PCP strength. Story 25. My buddy, the groom, was not really a beer guy. We were pretty loaded before we hit the bar down the street in Louisiana. We went to the Bulldog. It was a bar that allowed dogs, so my friend brought his golden retriever. Anyways, we ended up getting a pitcher of their famous beer, which was a pretty rough beer even if you're into the heavier stuff, and he ended up lying his head down on the table after half a glass. After a while, I noticed a slippery spot under the table, and it turned out the groom had puked, and the dog was eating it as my foot was resting on it. 10 out of 10 still had fun. Story 26. It was my sister-in-law's bachelorette party in Vegas. So, day pool drinking gets out of hand, and everyone passes out at the hotel for a midday nap. I actually stayed behind that night, because I had the margarita flu. I woke up at 4 a.m. to a knock. The maid of honor has returned, and she is crying. She apparently met up with one of the dudes we met at the day pool and got intimate with him. She tearfully called her boyfriend of 7 years and confessed everything right then. At 4 a.m., we then regroup for a new day. The day drinking gets the best of the bride. She is down for the count at 3 p.m. Unable to walk, she is escorted out of the day pool and over to the taxi line. The bride's girls insult the cab driver the whole ride back and barely manage to hold back vomit. Upon arrival at the hotel, she takes a nap in a bush, and the security is called. Again, the bride finds herself in a wheelchair. We are escorted through the hotel, through staff areas, up a service elevator, and into our room. She barfed 3 times on the journey. The bride is unconscious, and we take her to her bed to get some sleep. We have pre-purchased tickets to Thunder Down Under, and the conscious girls don't want to miss it, especially since it was paid for. We go to the show, leaving the bride to rest, and leaving the maid of honor to tend to her, and also continue moping about the whole cheating on her boyfriend thing. The bride finally wakes up around 11 p.m. While everyone else wanted to play some cards, she wanted to go see some male dancers. She missed the show earlier, and it's her bachelorette party, and she wants to go. So most people go to the casino. A few of us take the bride to a non-classy bar. The place looked really sketchy. We leave the men's area and decide to chill with the girls on the ladies' side. The dancers befriend us and start to get handsy, taking things a bit too far, and we politely leave and drive home in silence. The bride has since gotten a divorce. Story 27. A buddy hired a dancer for his best friend's bachelor party. The dancer came down with the flu, but didn't want to have to refund the money. She was crying that she had already spent it and couldn't afford to do without it. I offered to pay for another dancer, but my friend decided he was going to let her do her job anyway, despite the fact that she had run off to the trash can to puke up a lung twice during the conversation. I said, "Dude, it's no problem really. Getting someone else will be much better." But he decided he was going to get his money's worth. So first dance, they pull out the groom and strap him to a chair. Then the emaciated, nauseated dancer saunters over to him and starts a very uncoordinated coughing dance. The groom doesn't even notice. Then, right when there's a pause in the music, we hear a fart. And the best man lets out a scream and runs top speed to stop the dancer from grinding on the groom, because from his spot he saw that she had actually pooped all over the groom, who still hasn't noticed, seriously. Then the rest of us noticed mostly because of the smell and stains on the groom's pants. That time, he notices and freaks completely out. So the best man reaches the groom. The groom pops up still strapped to the chair, bangs the best man in the head, and they both take a tumble into the dancer and land in a pool of the nasty stuff that came out of her body. About a third of the guests puke. I laughed and saved my "I told you so" till after the party. Oh, and she still asked for a tip. Story 28. Not cheating related, but a friend of mine went crazy bridezilla during her hens at Bangkok. Most of us were from Malaysia, and one of the girls flew in specifically from Melbourne just for that weekend to celebrate her hens. That Melbourne girl, too, had everything planned out for the trip, because whenever we asked bridezilla what she'd like to do for her hens, she'd go all, "Up to you guys, but I want to do some shopping, nails and massage." So the itinerary was day 1 shopping, day 2 nails, and day 3 massage before we set off. Bridezilla went full-blown crazy, screaming at the top of her lungs and complaining about how this is her hens, and how we're just doing whatever we want instead of whatever she wants. She made fun of a transsexual who did her hair, mimicking her actions and tone of voice in front of her, while we're all feeling utterly embarrassed by her actions. She then proceeded to threaten to fly back to Malaysia every single night. When things got messy, we finally sat her down and talked to her, and this was the last night before we flew off the next day. We told her about her actions, and she still thinks we're all wrong, how we're ruining her hens and whatnot. One thing's for sure. When we asked her if she really was intending to fly back to Malaysia, she said no, and that there are no flights back anyway. I was fuming inside. True enough, once we're back, I hardly met up with her. Only attended her wedding because I had RSVP'd way in advance. And I'm not the kind of person who breaks my promise. I don't need a friend like that. Story 29. We hired a dancer for our buddy's bachelor party. She wasn't able to make it, so she sent a colleague in her place at the last minute, this gaunt-looking blonde thing in a skimpy outfit. We put some music on and she began her routine, which included undressing herself and the groom fully, which was quite uncomfortable for everyone, especially the groom. She lit some candles and dripped hot wax all over the groom's chest, then bent him over a chair and spanked his cakes with a leather belt. We were horrified more than anything else, and she must have sensed it too because she quickly got dressed and abruptly left despite still having 10 minutes left. All we wanted was a fun show, not to see our friend humiliated in front of his closest mates. Story 30. My husband's bachelor party was terrible. He was trying to get closer to my brother, so he invited him and another friend to go to the club. Nothing too big, just a few guys hanging out. The friend canceled. My brother, not even knowing the friend had canceled, called and said he had invited a few people on his own. The night turned into basically my brother having an excuse to go to a club. His wife never let him. They all asked my husband to spot them some money, then use the money to buy him a dance. I guess he wasn't fully into it as much as they wanted, so they kept calling him a wimp. They bummed money off of him not just for the dance, but for everything that night. And my brother still to this day calls my husband a wimp and that he's not much of an alpha, because I have him whipped. Apparently, having respect for your spouse and not screaming at her during family gatherings makes you a wimp. My husband kept texting me, telling me he's miserable and wants to leave. He then tells my brother, who drove him there, that he wanted to leave, but my brother was like, "Yeah, just a minute," and continued to make out with the dancers and whatnot. Then, when they finally left, my brother brought him home and pretty much argued the whole time because my husband didn't let loose enough to be all over the dancers. I felt so bad, and I still do. We don't talk to my brother much anymore, for many reasons. Mostly because he's a narcissistic prick. Story 31. I was a server at a hoity-toity bar in a very expensive neighborhood. We almost never did bachelor parties, but we did have a private floor that was rented out for events. A guy calls and wants to throw his bachelor party there, which is fine. But then he calls back a few days before the party and asks about dancers. We say no. No dancers. He grumbles a bit but agrees. The night of the party arrives, and three women show up for the otherwise all-male bachelor party. We can tell they are definitely dancers, but I guess management decided it wasn't worth fighting. And besides, we couldn't just bar the girls from a paying customer's party. They hadn't done anything wrong, and it would have been a scene. So in go the girls. Staff are told to monitor the party and enforce the no dancers rule. I'm upstairs working on the rooftop patio when a co-worker lets me know there's been an accident. An ambulance has been called. There was a lot of blood. Apparently, the girls were definitely dancers. The groom, set to marry the next week, had been banging one of them in a bathroom stall. In the head of the moment, he slipped and smashed his face on the purse hook on the stall door, lower than the coat hook, and it had gone right through his cheek. I'm just curious what he told the poor bride. Story 32. The worst thing isn't something I witnessed or even remember most of, but it is something I did. I was completely broke and wasn't working much, but it was one of my best friend's bachelor parties in San Diego. I had like $78 to my name, and it was like $30 to $50 for the train. So I was running on financial fumes. However, everyone else at the bachelor party is anywhere from very well off to straight up rich. All the dudes there were buddies of mine, too, whom I came to know through him. He was probably one of my two or three best friends, I'd say at this time in my life. We were a group of drinkers and partiers and hit it hard. He's a huge dude, and we end up drinking together, and I usually keep up even with a 90-pound weight differential. Anyways, we arrive and get on a van and go to the hotel, and then go to like a pool party thing, and I get a few drinks here. The important thing to note here is my buddy, and they know I'm broke, and my buddy picks up the tab, and I hook him up with hockey tickets and stuff, so we sort of take care of each other. I hadn't eaten since the day before, and I didn't really track how much I was drinking. I'll be straight up, I used to drink a lot, and get into a lot of crap. And this was my ride-or-die drinking buddy's bachelor party. I also take prescription medications, which sometimes have a synergistic effect with alcohol, so I really shouldn't have been drinking anything. Anyways, we all drink at the pool, and the bill comes, and they look at me for a few bones, and I'm straight up that I'm low. One of the guys, I guess, told me not to worry about paying for the drinks earlier, but I think he meant like don't worry about the single drink. Anyway, it wasn't any real issue. I said I'd throw some herbs to everyone to make it up. All is well. But I'm more drunk than I realize and had way more drinks than I knew because the waitresses kept picking up and bringing back drinks, and people would buy us all a shot, and so forth and so on. Keep in mind, my buddy and I would hang out and drink a whole handle of Fireball while watching hockey and hanging out. Anyways, we go back to the hotel and are drinking beers in the van, and get back and quickly change to go out for the night. I think I'm fine when actually I'm pretty drunk. We arrive at a fancy restaurant, and our table isn't ready, so of course it's off to the bar for drinks. Now, before I go on, there is one thing to note. There was one guy in the group that I didn't like and would be the type of guy that's smashed and walks around harassing girls and dudes and trying to drive, and he's just kind of a jerk. He's also rich and has a rich family, and is just a prick. So we get seated, and it goes blank there for a bit. The next thing I remember is being led into a paddy wagon while asking, "What did I do?" They took me to a club that had like a huge room that I guess was a drunk tank. This was not my first drunk tank rodeo, so I know the drill and take my shoes off so I have a pillow and go to bed. I wake up and hit a snag. I'm running out of money and still need to buy a train ticket home, and I remember the name of the hotel. But there are multiple hotels with the same name in the area. I get an Uber and go to the first hotel. Nope. I have no money on my PayPal. Call another one. Wrong hotel again. But luckily I realized it before getting out, so I had him drive me to the next on the list. Third time's a charm. I walk in and see my buddy at the desk, and look over at him and laugh, and he's checking out and looks at me strangely. I think that's weird, but whatever, I must have been a bit of a jerk to him the night before while drunk. So I go to the room. My stuff isn't in there. I found it in another room, and I guess everyone was leaving on different trains or whatnot, and I can't get a hold of anyone. So I grab my bag and get to the train station, and I have just enough money left to within like a nickel for the train ride home. I'm still shaking off a hangover and figure everyone else must have gotten wasted and gone home since they all have families and kids and stuff. I get home and text my buddy and get no response. Call him and no response. I'm like, this is weird. And I figure I must have done something stupid while I was drunk that I have to apologize for, which is basically par for the course at this point on both our ends. 2 days later, I'm at the dog park, and he calls me. We start talking, and I ask him what's going on and what happened because I just remember sitting down at the table and then suddenly being arrested. So here is what had happened. We sit down to eat, and the waiter takes our order, and at some point his buddy, the dude I don't like, made a snide comment about the money and the drinks at the pool and money in general, and I snapped. I flipped the table over and leapt after him and basically hulked out and took out half the patio area of one of the fanciest restaurants in the city. And at one point, I guess there was a dad there with his kid, and I scared the kid indirectly, which still destroys me inside. Anyways, he just had a kid and had another on the way, and seeing me act that way while blitzed and everything sort of broke the camel's back. And we haven't spoken since he called me in the park to tell me the story of what I did. And I don't blame him. After that happened at the restaurant, it basically killed the night, apparently, and thus ended the bachelor party early. We were all supposed to go to a club and stuff after. But instead, everyone went back to their rooms and went to bed and went home. We haven't spoken in about 2 years now, I think. My dad died last year, and I heard from a couple of people in the group with condolences, but not him. Which hurt, but also is my fault, and understandable. And even though I almost never drink now and no longer go to bars and don't do all that stupid crap I used to do, we still don't talk and it hurts, but I have no one to blame but myself. And though I feel awful every day still about ruining his bachelor party, part of me thinks maybe on some level it was a good thing. It forced me to finally stop drinking and going out and getting into trouble. I think it made him cut back, and seeing me like that, I'm sure he saw something in himself when he used to get like that. Not a day goes by that I don't think about it, and how I lost one of my best friends who was always good to me, who was one of the few to visit me in the hospital when I was sick, all because of being stupid with booze. And I think back at all the other relationships I ruined and things I screwed up from alcohol. And though I wish none of it happened, I guess I needed to lose one of my best friends in order to save myself and whatever other people I may put in danger with my alcohol abuse. I put all my focus and reallocated all the time I would spend partying and drinking and going out into rescuing dogs, and have had over 15 dogs in and out of my condo, rescued from the streets or crappy owners, or pulled from the pound and rehabilitated and trained and placed into loving homes. And now I have graduated to helping people. I spent 4.5 hours yesterday at a methadone clinic, so a homeless guy I befriended could get his treatment. That's something I never would have done before this, because I would have been sleeping until 2 p.m. because I got home drunk when the sun came up. Though I hate myself for what I did, and I miss my friend so much, if that's the price I had to pay to turn my life around, so be it. Story 33. When one of my goofier friends got married, he had to spend a day doing these ridiculous errands we'd all invented for him. He's a chef, so I had him buy the cheapest, nastiest ghetto hot dogs I could find, cook them over a burning copy of Martha Stewart Living, and eat them. Another friend made him buy a bottle of Aunt Jemima syrup and take it out on a date in a local restaurant. So he did, bought it food and everything, sat there talking to it and telling it how pretty it was. Then he had to publicly break up with Auntie, which he did, to the great confusion of the staff and patrons. He wound up storming out, and leaving the poor jilted Jemima sitting there. All of the plays pale in comparison to the evening's activities. My friend is pretty adventurous, so we took him to the club. Another friend knew the dancers that night, and asked them to give him the full treatment. There was a moment, as we were watching this train wreck unfold, where we all exchanged a this-has-all-gone-too-far look. They did the usual chair-on-stage routine, and gave him a double dance. But then they decided to ride him around the stage like a pony. Along the way, his pants started to slip off, so they removed them. Then they drew a bullseye on his rear with a fat Sharpie, and then took turns beating his bottom. Actually, whipping might be a better word, with his own leather belt. He had welts all over his bottom and back, and could barely sit at his wedding. Story 34. About 10 years ago, I went to a bachelor party for a friend of a friend. I definitely wasn't on the A-list, but I got invited to bring down the group costs for the weekend. I show up at like 9 a.m. on a Friday to get on a party bus with 10 other guys and a woman who works for the bus company, and her only job is to pretend she likes us and get us drunk. It's a 2-hour drive to the beach, and as soon as I step off, someone rushes past me to throw up Jaeger shots into the bushes. By 5 or so, I'm kind of bored, so I go to a bar down the boardwalk to get a drink by myself. I ran into this other guy from the bachelor party who didn't know a lot of the other people. I'll call him Mike. And we ended up playing pool for a few hours before we met up with the rest of the group at another bar. I got pretty hammered and ate a box of fried chicken off a guy who passed out on the coffee table of our beach house before I passed out myself. In the morning, I wake up and make coffee, and everyone slowly comes to. Everyone is hungover and talking about the stupid crap we got into the previous night. Nothing very impressive or noteworthy. But this one guy, Dave, starts complaining about chest pains and says he thinks he's having a heart attack. Dave is like 23 years old and spent the entire previous night drinking vodka and Red Bull. So we tell him he's probably having a panic attack from all the caffeine. Meanwhile, we realize that no one can find Mike, the guy I played pool with the night before. So, it's like 10 a.m. on a Saturday. Dave is dying and Mike is missing. I go outside to see if Mike has passed out on the porch. As I'm wandering by the canal, hoping I don't find a body and instead find lots of broken pottery, a neighbor in her 60s asks me if I'm looking for someone. She then tells me that she saw Mike trying to pull out her fence posts at about 7 a.m., so she called the cops, and that's the last she saw of him. By this point, the ambulance has arrived to help with Dave's completely real heart attack. While he's being given very necessary life-saving treatment, I tell the rest of the group what I learned about Mike. This is when the groom remembers Mike waking him up in the middle of the night by smashing all the light bulbs in the room against the wall over the groom's bed. The groom managed to find a not destroyed light, and when he turned it on, he found Mike shirtless and flagellating himself with the cord of a lamp while rubbing the rest of the lamp up and down his body in the middle of the room. The groom asked Mike to leave. We're not sure what Mike got up to while the rest of us slept, but he managed to smash the lamp outside by the canal. That was the pottery I found. Then get arrested at dawn when the neighbor objected to him physically removing her picket fence piece by piece from her yard. He broke his ankle either in the paddy wagon or while walking back from the station the next day. Long story short, Mike had to tell his wife there was another bachelor party in this beach town several months later, so he could do his community service. Dave, we were all surprised to learn that, was having a panic attack and was fine. Story 35. When I left a wedding reception to go to another event, I asked my friends to watch out for my younger brother. My friends were drunk, and they dared my brother to knock on a limo's window that drove by. He did and ran away. Then a bunch of girls opened the door and told him to return. So he did. Then the limo drove off with my brother in it. It was a bachelorette party. My friends freaked out because they were supposed to watch my brother, and he just hopped in a stranger's car that drove away. The girls in the car got my brother to eat a lifesaver off the bachelorette. Then they showed him a picture of the huge guy she was marrying the next day. He was scared for a week that some guy was going to find him and beat him up. Story 36. I was DJing for my friend's bachelor party. I jammed four drunk Marines into a 2013 Yaris, and we hit the road. Eventually, we ended up at a seedy club. Things were going okay. Drinks were surprisingly affordable, and we were the only people in the joint. Eventually, a different dancer stumbles through the door and is aggressively trying to get someone to buy a dance from her. Nobody is interested because she was not quite on the A squad. She talks my buddy and his younger brother into seeing a trick and proceeds to without warning. She sprays a bottle of water into herself and then sprays it on them. The whole scene was horrific. Story 37. Back in the 80s, my friend's brother's bachelor party was the first I'd ever been to, and my friends and I were young, maybe about 19 or 20. It was held in a room over a sketchy volunteer firehouse. The messy bartender doubled as the evening's entertainment, and at one point started unclothing, sat on top of the bride's father, and then proceeded to give the groom a blowy. It was far from anything exotic or cool, just sad and nasty, and not the good nasty either. My friends and I were like, this can't be good, and sort of noped out of there at that point, so I can't tell you what happened next, but I doubt anything good happened. I'm also not sure if the bride ever found out, but the wedding happened. To no one's surprise, the marriage barely lasted a year before disintegrating. The father of the bride was shot and killed a year later by a sibling during a family dispute, so there were a lot of issues, to say the least. Story 38. The groom's best friend, 24 years old, died a horrific death in a house fire week before the wedding. We were all crushed. How could the wedding proceed without Richie? Richie was the groom's best friend. He was supposed to be the best man. So we gathered at a friend's house where we made sausages and desserts for the wedding, and then retreated to a cabin in the woods on the property. About 15 of us spent hours drinking beer, smoking, and alternately crying and laughing about Richie. It was like his unofficial wake. I know this all sounds so sad, and it was, but it was necessary. I think we all attended the wedding with a lot of weight lifted from our shoulders after spending the night before celebrating the missing guest. It was a hard night, and I still respect the groom for making his bachelor party about the one person who couldn't attend. Thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this video, be sure to give it a thumbs up, subscribe, and hit the bell icon so you never miss an update.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.